A man has his hands in his pockets. It's a cold evening. He's going from his mom's house to his own home close by. He crosses the street. He's in Jamaica, Queens, walking between cars, about to reach one of those wide mediums at a boulevard. He's a middle-aged man. His name is Cornelia McDonald. His skin color is black. He's wearing his winter coat. It's dark out. It's after 1 in the morning. This is when plainclothes police in an unmarked van pull up to McDonald. They get out and stop and frisk him. CPW is what's written in the stopping officer's memo book. CPW, criminal possession of a weapon. The NYPD officer, Edward French, put his hands into McDonald's pocket and pulls out a cell phone. French fills out a UF-250, the form used by NYPD officers to record circumstances of stops. These forms are supposed to show reasonable suspicion for a stop, but the officer only checks off one box on the form, suspicious bulge. Hands in pocket, cold December evening, suspicious bulge is the rationale for the stop. The cops didn't find a gun, no drugs, just a man walking home from his mom's in a public housing complex. The officer's supervisor, Michael Lorry, testifies. He changes his testimony several times. Jonathan Moore is attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Sometimes you make, the typographical errors in your deposition, or, that a word is could have two meanings, is written the wrong way. But he's changed his answers from yes to no to I recall to I don't recall. I mean, it's
shocking.
Shocking. Yeah. I mean, I have other adjectives I could use, but I won't go there. Let me just say that it's outrageous that somebody would get up only 2 months after testifying and change all his answers to the most important questions that he was asked at the deposition.
Now, this is after he talks to the city.
This is after he talked to the city, and after the city, and after we represented to the city in open court why we thought he was important. So.
And how did it change his testimony? Tell listeners.
Well, at his deposition, he said, for instance, you can't tell whether there's reasonable suspicion from looking at a 250 form. That's kind of an important issue in this case, because we're saying you have forms that aren't good for anything. All they do is they just check off boxes. He's now saying, oh, now you could do that. So that's a substantial material change. That's not just a typographical error. That's changing his entire testimony.
And also, the check boxes on the 250s, most people said you're supposed to have more than one check for it to be reasonable suspicion,
right.
But he said no.
Well, that's the other thing. At first he said yes, and then he said no. So, this is the kind of testimony where if you were talking to a jury, you would say you can't believe anything he's saying. Throw it all out, but the important point is he's supposed to be doing the right thing. He's the sergeant supervising these officers, and he's not doing it. And then when he getting up after having testified one way, gets up at trial and testifies the other way, it's even worse than his lack of supervision. It's a lack of credibility, a lack of integrity.
But quite frankly, how often do we have to hear this? This has been not the first time that someone's changed their testimony.
Right. Well, and that's an important question, because it really, we've already heard that. How often, how much more do we have to hear it? We have the burden, and we're asking the court to do a pretty extraordinary thing, which is to impose an injunction on the police department of the city of New York to try to remedy this crime wave of stop and frisks. That's a heavy burden. So we have to make sure the record is complete, is sufficient enough to justify that, not only for Judge Shindlin, but more importantly, for the Second Circuit, who is going to be asked to review this, because for sure the city will appeal whatever she does.
An integrity control officer takes the stand. His name, Lieutenant Cosmo Palmieri. His job is to monitor police abuse. He says the main part of his job is to watch overtime. He spends some time reviewing officers' memo books. He visits some officers on foot posts. But at the end of his testimony, he clearly states that he hasn't had an opportunity to monitor an officer to make sure they are complying with stop and frisk policies. Moore says this is the root of the problem.
What you're seeing now, and it's a bit tedious, but what you're seeing now is a disconnect between what the bosses say they're doing and should be doing, and what the training says they should be doing, and what is actually happening on the street. This is not When Esposito testified, when Deputy Inspector Ortiz testified, they talk about how great the supervision system is, but in reality, it's not there. And here you have the integrity control officer, the aptly named integrity control officer, to make sure that the officers are complying with the law, who doesn't care about any of this. He doesn't do any investigation of any stop and frisk, any Roshia profiling, nothing. The failure to document in memo books, it's just not there. So it's the essence of what this case is. At the heart of it, it's the lack of supervision and monitoring that is not taking place in the NYPD that leads people like Officer French and Sergeant Loria to just stop people because they have their hands in their pocket because it's December and it's winter and they're walking home.
The Center for Constitutional Rights continues to present their case through next week. Then it's the city's turn. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.